This episode of Locked On MLB is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room is changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully on today's episode, which is being dropped on the 11th day of June, 2021. We're going to be bringing up the first place Milwaukee Brewers, as they are as of this recording, with Jack Stern, who's one of the writers of Brew Crew Ball, the SB Nation site, about the Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to talk a little bit about their victory against Cincinnati, the upcoming series against the Pirates, things that can improve, and the expectations for the year. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Odyssey app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts, and you're staying at home or you're in your car with your smart device. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows of the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Today with Peter Bukowski or Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So we are going to be talking about the Brewers again because there's a lot to talk about with the Brewers. And I'm bringing in a writer, as I mentioned, from Brew Crew Ball and also from Pitcher List. It's Jack Stern. Welcome to the show. And how are you doing as the Brewers are on top?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. And the Brewers are doing pretty good. So naturally, I'm doing pretty well myself. So good to be here.
Yeah, this is, we talked about this earlier this week as well, but the Brewers are continuing to play good baseball. And while I've had a couple of people poo-poo the fact that they've been beating up on some opponents that have not exactly been lighting the league on fire, like, you know, a slumping Nationals team or a not great Tiger team or Arizona or Cincinnati team, you've got to win those games. You've got to win the games that you're supposed to win and hold your own with the teams that you are basically even with. And that's how you wind up winning 90 some odd games. And I really, you take a look at what the Brewers have done, especially since they stumbled into late May sub 500 and in fourth place at one point. And now here they are, they're tied for first, and they could really, really, if they keep playing at this level, could really pad their win total over the next bunch of weeks.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that the Brewers had one of the harder schedules in baseball up until this recent run that they've been on. They've been playing some tough teams, and over that stretch, they weren't great, but they never sunk below just a couple games under 500, which if you really think about it, that's about how it's going to go when you're playing some really good teams. If it's a good team against another good team, you know, someone's got to win. So when it's all said and done, you know, to end up around 500 or a few games under, that's really not even close to the worst possible outcome that they could have had there. But yeah, and again, to the argument that they're just beating up on bad teams now, the Brewers won a series against the Dodgers a few weeks ago, and they won the season series against the San Diego Padres. They played two series against the Padres. They won the first one in San Diego, split the second one in Milwaukee. So the Brewers have played pretty well against two of the teams that a lot of people considered to be the juggernauts in the National League. But again, they were able to keep things from completely falling apart against the tougher portion of their schedule. So now they're at the point of the year where these are games that are a lot easier to win, and they have to win those games. And right now they're doing it.
Well, and we'll get a little bit into the game that was played today. We're recording this, pulling the curtain back a little bit. We recorded this on Thursday, and they won a game on Thursday afternoon in Cincinnati. But when you look at between now and the 4th of July, okay, they have one series against a contender between now and the 4th of July. They've got, I mean, you've got games against Pittsburgh, Cincy, Colorado, Arizona, more Colorado, more Pittsburgh. The one series they have against the contender is the series on the 28th, 29th, and 30th against Chicago, against the Cubs at, I almost said Miller Park. What the heck is it called now? It's Miller Park. I mean, no matter what I say, it's Miller Park. And I'll cut it down. It's at home. And if they can really feast upon some of the bottom dwelling teams, and if nothing else, just constantly take two out of three or win the series or maybe sweep a couple of them, they could pad their win total. So by the time the Cubs come into town at the end of June, they could potentially put some distance between them as those two teams are tied right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, they have a very favorable stretch coming up for them here. And I mean, even if they don't necessarily win every single one of those series, I mean, if they can take, you know, only lose one of them and win the rest or whatever it is, because, you know, it's baseball, stuff happens. They might not beat up on every single bad team like you would want them to. But yeah, they're in a position here where they can really kind of hit their stride, and to an extent they already have. So if they can just kind of keep the good vibes rolling and, you know, win a couple more series here, they'll be in a very favorable position where they don't really have to sweat it too much, even if that Cubs series doesn't necessarily go the way that, you know, Brewers fans would hope it would.
And the funny thing is that the two teams, Chicago and Milwaukee, are tied right now, and it's 62 games in the season. So basically the Cubs and the Brewers are going to play 100 games. And who could have the better record over the next 100 games? Of course, that's taking into account St. Louis has been incredibly disappointing. I picked them to win the Central. I think a lot of people picked the Cardinals to win the Central. And the fact that they've been flopping the way that they've been flopping is disconcerting. But I also think they're lying there like a snake in the grass. I think that they are going to be they're not going to flop this badly all year. But, you know, for the next 100 games, you know, if they can win 60 out of the next 100 games, then how many games would that give them? That would give them, if they win 60 out of the next 100 games, that makes them a 95 win team. And 95 wins should be enough to win that division.
95 for sure, I think, is going to be enough to win this one for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you have the next, I'm just going to just do a little bit of math in my head right now. That stretch that I talked about between now and the 4th of July is going to be that's a 22 game stretch. And if they could win 14 out of those 22 games, then I think that's going to put them in a really good position, especially when you consider that's going to be almost at the All-Star break and sniffing around the time when teams that are contenders are going to be looking to make deals or looking at the trade deadline. And, you know, if the Cubs slump, they're going to start selling. And so, or potentially not buy. And I don't know. I think that for this Brewers squad, this is a cream puff part of the season, where if they can win 14 games in the stretch, that they could stretch their arms a little bit, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going back to the Cubs, you know, you kind of get this sense of they're waiting to have a better excuse to sell off some of their best players. Because, I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know, when we looked at the Darvish trade last offseason and some of the moves that they've made or lack thereof, mm-hmm. you know, the Cubs didn't really put a whole lot of effort into trying to put together an amazing team this year. They didn't push all the chips in. And it does kind of seem like they're waiting for that opportunity where if they're not doing so well, then they can kind of justify selling off, you know, Chris Bryant especially is the big name there. But yeah, and again, that really works in favor of the Brewers. If they can end up in a spot where they don't have as strong of competition as they do right now, I think when it's all said and done, the Central is still going to be an extremely close division, especially with the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are kind of that sleeping giant, you could say, in this division. I think eventually they're going to figure things out and they're going to get to the point where it's a close race between those two teams. But yeah, if you can put together a good stretch, and the big thing for the Brewers is just keep playing at or above 500, you know, because there's several games over right now. So if they can just, you know, from here on out, avoid any, you know, major slides where they drop, you know, like 15 out of 20 or something. If they can avoid that, they'll be sitting pretty.
Well, that's why I think this next stretch is so critical. I think if they could really just sort of pad their win total, it gives them a little bit of wiggle room, because they will have a slump. Every team goes on a losing streak at one stretch or another. And of course, the Brewers had their share of losing the first third of the season. But, you know, to have this period of time where they can beat the snot out of the Reds and the Rockies and the Diamondbacks is going to go a long way to give them that buffer when they start going off and starting to play. I mean, after the Cubs series, that, you know, they've got series against, you know, the Mets coming up, series against the White Sox, series against Atlanta, the Giants. I mean, there's going to be the second half of July and into August is going to be, that's going to be a lot tougher. So that's why they got to pad their resume a little bit right now. And I just want to bring up one thing. We're going to go into today's game in a second here, but I'll just say that when we were talking earlier this week about the Brewers and their need for some more production out of first base, one of the best things that happen is if a solution comes from within. And Daniel Vogelbach is, you know, he got the big, huge home run on Thursday. What are your thoughts on him in terms of leaning on him more to be that big bat in the middle of the lineup as everyone crosses their fingers and hopes that Yelich starts to hit better?
I think in an ideal scenario, you're not counting on Daniel Vogelbach to be the guy at first base. And there's a couple of reasons for that. The first one is, you look at the career numbers, he has a career OPS plus of 100, which is exactly
the definition of mediocre. The definition of mediocre.
Right. So it's not bad, but, you know, from first base, you're looking for a little more than a league average bat, especially because Vogelbach is a huge negative on defense. I like to joke about him being a five tool player sometimes, but the fact is that's just not true. I mean, I've watched him play first base. You know, Brewer fans have watched him play first base extensively this year. He's on pace to play more games at first base than he ever has in a single season, because he's mainly been a designated hitter. And there's a reason for that. He doesn't have a lot of range, not a lot of flexibility over there. I mean, he can barely stretch for a ball. If it's a throw that's not even necessarily a terrible throw, but a throw that's not great, there's a decent chance he's not going to be able to get to it. So ideally they can kind of go out and acquire someone to fill that role. And then that allows them to kind of move Vogelbach into more of that super pinch hitter role that they were hoping he would fill when they wanted Keston Hira to really take the reins at first base.
What's happening, Keston? Did they option him to the minors, or did they designate? There was some movement with him.
Yeah, a few days ago they optioned him down to AAA for the second time this year. He was optioned early in May for the first time when he really struggled, and he put up a very, very good slash line in AAA. But the big thing for him this year has been the strikeouts. It's gotten to the point where he's simply not making enough contact, especially on pitches right down the middle, to be doing any damage. And even when they sent him down the first time, you know, the slash line looked amazing in AAA, but the strikeouts didn't go down at all. So when they brought him back up, I mean, he struggled even more than he had before. So right now they're really in a place where they got to start thinking a little more about fixing him long-term versus fixing him this season. So, and they talked about it too when they sent him down again. They said this is going to be much more of a long-term stay in AAA, because they got to get to the bottom of what's going on with him.
Well, I'm guessing that Brewers fans are hoping that the investment on Keston Hira is one that you're, say, buy low and sell high situation with him, that you can invest in him now and have it pay off later. And by the way, if you're going to buy low and try to sell high, then you may want to trade at Sports Trade. Have you heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's no wonder this company is blowing up. The site is amazing. And I can't believe no one's thought of this before. Sports traders take fantasy to the next level. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. It's a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. They just added baseball to the platform, so check it out. Making money with sports trade is simple. Players' values rise and fall based on two factors, performance and supply and demand. The more shares purchased in a player, the higher their value goes. You can instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like. It's like the stock market. Then watch your players battle as your portfolio rises. Simply go to sportstrade.com and watch the How It Works video and sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com. Discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new way to use sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. I really think you'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action at sportstrade.com. All right, everyone, we are back here. We've got Mr. Jack Stern of Brew Crew Ball. We're talking about the Milwaukee Brewers. Strange game was played on Thursday. Let's talk about that for a second here, because it was Luis Castillo got the loss, and I don't think he deserved it. He pitched pretty dang well. He only let up one hit, and he walked three batters. He struck out seven in 5 2/3 innings, and there was a rain delay in the middle of the game. So I guess the Reds felt like, all right, well, we don't want to extend it. It was 2-1 when he left the game, and the Brewers rallied off of Sims and friend of the podcast, Sean Doolittle, let up a couple of runs. And all of a sudden, Lucas Sims, I had to look up Sims' first name. I didn't even know it. And next thing you know, a 2-1 Reds lead turned into a deceptively wild 7-2 Brewer victory. What do you think about today's game? This was just a very strange sort of schizophrenic game that we saw today.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost like watching two completely different games. You had, you know, game one pre-rain delay, and you had game two after the rain delay. I mean, before the delay, you had Freddy Peralta and Luis Castillo dueling against each other. I mean, Peralta's been amazing all year for the Brewers, and that was the case again today. Castillo's having a rough year, but, you know, pitched very, very well today, and that's a positive sign for him and for Cincinnati. But you went from really having a pitcher's duel up until that rain delay, and then after it, it was much more offensively dominated, especially with the Brewers' offense.
Yeah, and there's a, like, you go down the line, you know, we mentioned, you know, Vogelbach had a very big game, and Peterson had a good game driving in three. You know, it's encouraging to see Yelich went hitless but got on base three times with three walks. You know, it's encouraging to see that at least he's getting more productive at bats. You know, my old buddy Jackie Bradley Jr. still can't buy a hit, but, you know, sometimes you got to just take the good with the bad. I have to just say one thing. We're going to have to take the trade that brought Freddy Peralta to the Brewers as one of the big steals of the last bunch of years. He was acquired along with two other minor leaguers for Adam Lind. Adam Lind. I mean, who played 1 year, albeit a fine year with the Brewers in 2015, and they flipped him to the Mariners for a package of players that included Freddy Peralta, who is probably going to be an all-star this year. And the fact that the Brewers were able to steal an all-star caliber pitcher for 1 year of Lind, that has to be one of the best trades of the last bunch of years, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those deals that really speaks to the pitching development that has really come up under the David Stearns regime in Milwaukee. They've gotten very, very good at developing pitchers, because at the time they traded for Freddy Peralta, he was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very, very hard to project what's going to happen from there and how guys that young are going to pan out. And I believe Will Salmon ran a story in The Athletic not too long ago about how there were some folks in the Brewers scouting department and in their front office who identified Freddie already when he was that young and that raw. And they said, we want this guy. And the Lynn trade with Seattle was really kind of when that opportunity came up. So the Brewers, they really pounced on that, and they used that as that opportunity to acquire Peralta. And it's been really fun to see his development over the last couple of years. I mean, it looked for a while like he was going to be strictly a reliever because he threw like 80% fastballs. He didn't really have a clear secondary pitch. He performed much better out of the bullpen the last couple of years. But now he's really come through this year. He's developed a great slider, and he's got a changeup too to go with it. So now he's a much more complete pitcher. And he's also figured the control out too. Walks used to be a little bit of an issue for him. He's cut down on that this year. And it's really just been fun to watch him develop. And the Brewers deserve a lot of credit for being able to pick out a guy when he was that young and that raw, and when it's just very hard to project guys like that. But they saw something in him, and they worked with him for the last few years, and they were able to turn him into a very, very good starting pitcher.
Well, take a look at, I mean, in the era that we're pitching in, where so many teams are like, well, we're going to get, what, 3 or 4 innings out of our starting pitcher, or 5, and, you know, and during the 6th inning, you're warming up a reliever and you're Blake Snelling it. He's already given the Brewers 6 starts of 6 innings or more and 1 run or fewer. And, you know, in 3 of his starts, he pitched 7 innings or more. But he's 6 starts of 6 innings, 1 run or fewer, when you already have a good bullpen, that you know on the days that Freddy Peralta is going to pitch, you know that you're going to, more often than not, you're going to go relatively deep in the game. He would have gone deep again today if it wasn't for the rain delay. But when you look at the fact that he's in a rotation when having that type of year, and let's face it, he's their number 3 starter at this point, with the way that Woodruff is pitching, the way that Corbin Burns is pitching. Hauser's actually pitched pretty well recently as well. That's the thing that makes me pretty confident about the Brewers, especially over this 22-game stretch they have coming up against a bunch of tomato cans, is that almost every night they're going to have the better pitcher going. And when you keep having the best pitcher going on 2 out of 3 games, you're going to win a bunch of games. And the pitching staff, I did not go into this year thinking, I thought the Brewers were going to have a fine pitching staff. I didn't think they were going to be like the 1995 Rockies, where they're starting their ace pitchers in the ERA over 7. But I didn't think it would be this deep. And I didn't think you would have 3 legitimate all-star pitchers in this rotation, which they do.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do have to acknowledge a little bit. I mean, this is everything going right all at the same time for this right. pitching staff, yes. Which that doesn't happen very often. But again, it's a testament to the faith that the Brewers have had in these young guys and how they've been able to develop them. I mean, I think everyone knew that Woodruff and Burns are going to be good, but Freddy Peralta has really been the surprise out of the 3 of them. And he's the one who's really taken that huge step forward out of the 3. But again, and you know, and this is, it's fun to watch for Milwaukee fans too, because the last couple of years that we've been in the playoffs, the Brewers were relying on that Tampa Bay bullpenning strategy. Right. And, you know, and that's how they were getting as far as they did in the playoffs. And I remember there was, I believe it was in the National League Championship Series against the Dodgers in 2018. Mm-hmm. And Craig Counsell was pulling his starters early in those games after, you know, 4 or 5 shutout innings and 80 pitches or something. And he was getting some flack for that. And there was a press conference where he said something along the lines of, look, in an ideal world, in an ideal scenario, we have, you know, those Max Scherzers, those Garrett Coles, you know, those elite guys like that who can give you 7 or 8 innings, throw 110 pitches each time out. But Counsell said, I don't have that. Right now, what I do have is a really good bullpen. So we're going to mix and match and figure that out. And now you flash forward a couple of years later. Now the Brewers have Woodruff and Burns and Peralta. And Counsell is staying true to what he said a couple of years ago. The chains are coming off now. I mean, the leash has been extended. These guys are being allowed to throw, you know, into the 7th and 8th innings and get that pitch count up over 100, because that's how far they've come. The development is pretty much complete for these guys. I mean, they've gotten to the point where they're getting into that elite territory and they're being allowed to pitch like those elite guys, and they're getting the leashes that those elite guys would get. And it's really helping the Brewers out, especially because their bullpen has been a little bit depleted after they traded a couple of their middle relievers for Willy Adames. So, but the innings that the starting pitching has been able to provide, that's been huge.
Yeah. And they get a nice boost of energy from anytime you can go six innings into a game. And I'll tell you another way to get a boost of energy is to pick up a Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. My favorite Built Bar flavor is raspberry covered in chocolate, but there are 9 delicious flavors. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry, my favorite raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, they're all great. And most of the flavors have just 17 grams of protein along with 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. There is an offer through Locked On. If you go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCK15, you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Now, let me tell you something. Built Bars are good for you, but you know what's not good for you? Tobacco. And how can you get off the tobacco? Well, I'll tell you one thing you can do. You can pick up some Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz that you're used to without tobacco. It's available in 9 flavors. Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. Now, all other nicotine patches are dry white pouches, nothing dips and spits and packs like Fully Loaded. You can go to Fully Loaded and check out their website, Fully Loaded Chew. Use promo code Locked On. Just $1 and free shipping if you use the code Locked On at checkout. Next time you gotta go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew. That's fullyloadedchew.com. We're still here with Jack Stern, writer at Brew Crew Ball. Hey, before we wrap up here, and the Brewers are about to start a series with the Pirates. Meanwhile, the Cubs and the Cardinals are going to be involved in a form of cannibalism. That must be a strange series if you're a Brewers fan, because obviously you want the Cubs to lose because then the Brewers would be in first place, but you don't want to have the Cardinals regain their mojo. So there's part of you might be thinking, you know, which side are you pulling for on that one?
Yeah, it's kind of a lesser of two evils situation, if anything. So yeah. It's a tough call. You know, I would have to say right now, you're probably pulling for the Cardinals if you had to pick one, because mm-hmm. right now we're tied with the Cubs. But like you said, I mean, if the Cardinals have a good series against the Cubs and then they get hot again, well, that's not good for us either. So it's one of those things where you kind of don't, you kind of try to not pay attention to that as much and just control what you can control. The Brewers got to go out there and they got to keep winning games. If they can do that, what happens in that Cardinals-Cubs series isn't as big of a deal.
Yeah, I think what you got to be rooting for is to sweep the Pirates. And therefore, no matter what happens, you're going to be in good shape. Well, look at what would be, you know, I know I'm not going to curse you and I'm not going to ask you to jinx anything. But short of winning a World Series title, what would be for you a satisfactory conclusion for the 2021 season?
I think any time that you can get into the playoffs, I think that's a pretty good season, especially for a smaller market team like Milwaukee. But I think a lot of us are hoping that they can win the division because they didn't do that in 2019. They didn't do it in a frustrating 2020 season.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a couple of years since we won the division. And the last time we did win it, it took 163 games. So, you know, if we can get out ahead of Chicago and St. Louis a little bit and wrap that division up, I think that would make a lot of people happy. I think for other people's, you know, it might be as far as, even if it's not a World Series win, if you can win the pennant. I think first thing you got to focus on, obviously, is get in any way that you can, because once you're in, anything can happen. But I think a lot of people would like to see us win the division, because that's the easiest route from there, if you can get in that way versus getting in on a wild card. And the Brewers have lost the wild card each of the last 2 years that they've made it in that way. So I think division win is really what we're hoping for right now.
Well, I think if two things could really help the Brewers short of a blockbuster trade is a better second half from Yelich, obviously, and Jackie Bradley Jr. becoming adequate. You know, if he hits in an adequate way, adequate is better than horrible. And so if JBJ could just raise his hitting to replacement level, then with his glove, I think that that would be an improvement. And okay, I'm not trying to jinx anything here, but a lot of people, including yours truly, are picking a Southern California team to represent the National League in the World Series. But I do remember, and this again, I swear I'm not trying to jinx you, but when the Phillies were unbelievable favorites in 2010, the team that derailed them was San Francisco. And one of the reasons why San Francisco was able to derail them was they had the pitching staff that, while the collection of Hamels and Halliday and Oswalt may have looked better on paper, they had the pitchers to match up with each one of them. And the fact that the Brewers have Woodruff and Peralta and Burns all pitching on all cylinders, they may not be better than one of the Southern California teams over 162 games, but they might be better than them over a week. And so that's one of the reasons why I think this Milwaukee team is so intriguing. If they can be relatively healthy, get improvements from those two outfielders, and be at full strength in October, I think they can go pretty far. So I'm not trying to jinx anything. That's just my personal take on it. But hey, Jack Stern, tell people where they can follow you.
Yeah, so you can follow my Twitter page at baseball7310, or you can check out Brew Crew Ball or Pitcher List and find some of my work there.
Well, great. And for everyone else, you can follow us at the free and easy to use Odyssey app and follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods, or you can follow me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Well, hey, have a great weekend, everybody. And I want to thank Jack Stern for being part of Locked On MLB. We're talking Brewers. No one can accuse me of being East Coast biased or just focusing on the big markets. We've had a couple of Brewers discussions, but guess what? They're an exciting and intriguing team. I wish MLB would figure that out one of these days. But talking Brewers here on Friday, the 11th day of June, this has been Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.